hold on a little while longer, and everything will be all right. Can I get a witness? We've been talking about the knowledge of God and having God's wisdom. Certainly, the world stands at a threshold right now, needing wisdom, but not knowing where to find it. What I want to suggest to you, that you turn to the living God and ask Him for the wisdom that you need. As a matter of fact, that's the verse that we'll be speaking from today, James chapter 1 and verse 5. We're sort of in a transition sermon between now and next Sunday, where we'll actually be talking about how do you incorporate this wisdom of God. We're going to talk about that on next Sunday, but this Sunday is sort of in a transition, because you must take the wisdom of God into your life. You must receive it. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, and I'm not going to be a long time. I know preachers always say that, don't they? But I'm going to share with you some things about actively receiving God's wisdom into your life. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without finding fault, and it shall be given. That's the verse for today. Look at somebody and say to them, it's good to know. I know I always do this in church. Look at somebody else, tell them, it's good to know. Now, say the last time, then you sit down, what do you know? Father, we thank you again for your amazing love and your grace that sustains us, how you empower us. And today, Lord, while the world is scrambling, trying to come up with answers, looking for political answers, economic answers, looking for answers to solve our problems that we have, and there's only one who has the answer, and that's you. So I thank you today. Bless us as we share in this message, that, Father, we might be benefited, that we might be blessed, but more importantly, we might glorify and honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. So what if I refuse the wisdom of God? What are the repercussions of saying no to God's wisdom? Going back to the reference of the book of Proverbs, God designated, or He appointed a certain book in the Bible for you to go to if you need wisdom. It talks about living. It talks about relationships. It talks about when problems come. It talks about crowds that you hang out with. It's a book of wisdom, followed by the book of Ecclesiastes, which gives you a summary of those who can't find or won't look to God's wisdom. Anytime you start a book with the words vanity, empty, you know that something's up. And the issue is, there were those who rejected wisdom, including Solomon at one point in his life. He pushed it aside. He sought other things, and he tells you about that in his experience. So wisdom is front and center every day of your life. You either live by it, or you ignore it. What are the repercussions? Well, Proverbs brings out a couple of things, and I label this under the autopsy of those who lack wisdom. Didn't ask for it, didn't want it, pushed it aside. In Proverbs, it actually says in chapter 5, some of those victims of people who won't follow wisdom, it says they fall into the trap of a strange woman. Now, the reference here could either be for habits, it could fall into an attitude, you could fall into a slump, but it uses the terminology of falling into the trap of a strange woman with smooth words, but her end is bitter as wormwood and cuts like a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. What it's describing there, if you give yourself to anything else other than the leadership of God, you're going to end up in trouble. You're going to get shipwrecked in life. You're going to get into a place where you will be so sorrowful and regretful that you chose that path. Another autopsy says in chapter 1, the foolish person rejects wisdom. They cast it aside and they go with the crowd. They wait for those who are going to shed blood. And they look for greedy gain. But it ends up with the grave. And they go down to the pit. That's a troubling autopsy. I'm wondering, what will be the testimony of wisdom regarding you? Will wisdom stand up and say, oh yeah, they followed my plan. They listened. They made a couple of stumbles. They had some ups and downs. What will wisdom write about you? No one has ever rejected wisdom and recovered from it. Write that in your notes. Absolutely no one has survived who said, I don't need wisdom. I don't need God. There were no survivors who made that statement. And I share this with you because we need wisdom. Man, do we need it. And I'll close as this sermon telling you some of the ways that we really need wisdom. Let's do another autopsy. Let's look at something else. Those who reject wise counsel. Those who say, I don't want to do that. The Bible calls them fools. As a matter of fact, the worldwide holiday of fools is coming up, April 1st. It's going to be a celebration to the fools. Had a group back in the day, and the main ingredient, everybody plays the fool. I pray that's not you today. Wisdom is such a wonderful thing. And the Apostle James saw some confused people, much like today. People confused over world affairs. What's going to happen if Russia doesn't settle with just invading Ukraine? What if they decide that they're going to invade Poland? What will be done? Czechoslovakia. Boy, try saying that early in the morning without coffee. What happens if they aim their missiles at the United States? What do we do then? How do we handle that? Questions. And the only one that really has the real answers is the living God. He's given us his wisdom, poured it out into the earth. Share some things about wisdom that says, you know, it is the principal thing, the most important thing, the thing that you need before you go out in life. You need God's wisdom. The Apostle James was writing to that group of scattered Jews, as he calls them, scattered all over the Roman Empire. And we look at that term and we kind of blow it off and say, oh, it was just, they had to go here and they had to go there. They were running for their lives. Over 1 million Jews were killed because the Romans wanted to suppress them. Others were brought into slavery, and the rest of them were just scattered so that they would never have an opportunity to unify and rebel against the Roman government ever again. But you know what? Through all of those times, God has kept Israel. You better pay attention. He said, they're the apple of my eye. Anyone messes with my people, it's like poking God in the eye and daring him to do anything about it. Unwise. Unwise. They were scattered, and James writes them this encouragement. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He will give to everyone liberally, and he will not upbraid them or scold them. God will just generously give it unto you because you ask. Isn't that wonderful of God? Amen. So if it's good to know, why don't we know? A lot of us We become experts on things after they happen. In other words, all of a sudden, man, if I knew then what I knew now, but it's too late. Situation already passed. I noticed as I was reading this verse, something telling comes out of it. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, that very phrase there said, you checked it out and you lack wisdom. You went through something and you didn't have wisdom. And now you're at a crossroads in your life and you're asking, how do I get it? How do I receive it? That's why we're talking about it today. The first thing is to recognize that there's a need. And it's usually after the tragedy, after the storm. I was reading in a funny comment, really it wasn't a comment, but it said, it's too late to try to get house insurance if your house is on fire. And that's like us. When the boat is sinking, then we figure out, man, I should have plugged that hole. Life often hits you unawares, and you're usually in a place where you didn't know you needed that. You didn't know that you would have to use that, and so you lack wisdom. What do we do about that? Well, a couple of things I think is very critical. One is we need to understand what wisdom is all about. It is the treasure of God given to mankind. Are y'all in the building? It is a treasure of God that is given to mankind. Chapter 8 of Proverbs is a wonderful chapter because it points to the great things that wisdom says about itself. It's as if wisdom stood up and said, let me give you my testimony for those of you that don't know me. Let me share with you some of the things. If you don't think I'm valuable, wisdom says, listen to this. Wisdom says, receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared. You don't put them on the same scale. That's how valuable wisdom says I am. Wisdom says, you don't know you need me, but you're going to get to the place where you're going to need me. It goes on to say, verses 10 through 32, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Wisdom says, I got my own research and development department, and we come up with things, future things that mankind will need. Where did all these medications come from? And where did all of these inventions come from? It came from one source, and that is wisdom. Even the things that are destructive, it's where people are using it the wrong way. What's driving people in the world today is not God's wisdom, but money. You notice that? It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Folks that's got it trying to get more. Those that don't have it, they're trying to get it if they can. Play that lottery. Yeah, what chapter you said, Reverend, you preaching from today? I'm going to play that number when I get out of here. Come on, let's be real now. Wisdom says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and every evil way. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings rule. Princes declare laws. Wisdom. One verse says that wisdom cries out in the street, hey, you that are simple, come follow me. It's at every city gate. Wisdom is at every point of life, and all we've got to do is listen to it. For those that are seeking money, look at what wisdom says. I love them that love me, and those that hate me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. Now I want to talk to some old-time folk now. How many of you all have been down to your last dollar and God made it work for you? Try not to praise him too much for that, because I got to move on, but how many of you have looked at your income and then looked at your outgo, your expenses, and you shook your head and said, ain't no way it's going to work, but God worked it out. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom that God provides for everyone. Listen to what it closes with. He said, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue is better than silver. Verse 22 says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways. Wisdom been around for a long time. Wisdom is all powerful. Chapter 8 of Proverbs, verse 22 says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting. Always been here. And now wisdom says, if you want to know, I got it. If you don't want to know, go on with your bad self. You're going to find out that you need me. It cries out in the street. So why don't people ask before the tragedy? Why don't they make an inquiry before the storm? Let me give you a couple of things. First thing that comes up is ignorance. We just don't know. I remember when my wife and I, we bought a house over in Sunnymead and lived over there a couple of years, and we had this pipe, had holes in it, pipe, just laying around the house. Well, I thought it was laying around the house, but it was actually attached to the gutter, and I didn't know why. This pipe, it got in my way. I'm cutting my grass, and that pipe, I had to move it out of the way and then move it. I said, you know what? I'm taking this to the dump. Put it in my vehicle, carried it to the dump. Guy said, you getting rid of that? Yeah, I don't see it. I said, it's got holes in it. What am I going to do with it? He said, fine, I'll take it. A couple weeks later, we had a bad rainstorm. Water came down, and not only did it get in the gutter, but it flowed down inside of my house and started running in the floor in my basement. And I said, man, wonder what's happened here. Went to my local Lowe's. I said, hey, what do I need to keep the rain from coming into my house? He said, do you have any pipe on your gutters? Light bulb. I said, I had a pipe on there, but it had holes in it. And he didn't want to call me idiot, but he didn't have to, because I realized, man, I made a big mistake. So he sold me some pipe that I needed for my gutters, and that solved my rain problem. We're ignorant. There's not a soul in here that knows what's going to happen tomorrow. There's not a person in this room that can say, tomorrow this is going to happen. The Bible declares that, as a matter of fact, in the book of James, it says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen the next 30 seconds. Your life, your heartbeat is in the hand of God. Now you see the context of what James is saying. If you lack wisdom, if you are ignorant, come to God, and he'll pour out his wisdom into your life, give you the knowledge that you need so that you don't have to go through that tragedy, that situation that you're facing right now. You won't have to go through it, because God says, I'll walk you through it. How good is that? So ignorance, write that down. That's part of it. Second thing that happens to us in life, and the reason why we make a late request for wisdom, you know, if something happens, then we say, oh, I need. But the second reason is we got this little thing clicked on the back of our head that says, experience is the best teacher. Experience is the best teacher. I don't know who told you that, but they lied. Experience might teach you some things, but it's not the best. Let me give you a couple of reasons. One, many experiences that we remember generally ended in failure. And if you had the chance to go through it again, depending on experience, it's going to teach you the same stupid lesson. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to repeat the same mistakes if you depend on something from your past to tell you something about your future. Second reason, I don't know whether y'all got this problem. You may be taking Prevagen. I watched the commercial, got memory loss, and I was, well, yeah, I sure do. Take this product. Memory supplements ain't that good. A lot of our things that happen in life, we done forgot about them a long time ago. So if you're dependent on experience, can you remember what you experienced? Or have you developed a fishtail about what really happened? Oh yeah, I was a hero of that story. No, you weren't. You fell flat on your face. And God had to help you. Experience is not the best teacher. And the third reason is that when you go through these things in life, not only will experience, you can't remember it. If you repeat it, you'll do the same thing. But Jesus said, Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Next Sunday, we're going to actually talk about where the knowledge is coming from and who the knowledge is. You're going to find that out on next Sunday. So make sure you come back. Y'all, you here? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. If Jesus knew that experience was the best teacher, why didn't he say, oh, go to experience? And they'll tell you what you need. No, he says, come to me. Why do we go to church on Sunday? We bring our need. We bring our lack of wisdom. We bring our brokenness. We bring our heartache, our burden to him. We enjoy the songs. We listen to the sermon, but somewhere in that service, the Spirit of the living God is going to sit down beside you. And it's going to he's going to start talking to you and say, listen, you know you got this going on in your life. Why don't you let me help you? Why don't you let me guide you? I can ease the burden. I can show you what to do. How many of you have come in Sundays, had trouble on mine? You put on the Sunday smile. But inside of you, you were being torn apart. How many of you felt that way? But somewhere in the service, God whispered to you. God talked to you. God shined a light of his glory into your heart so that your burden got lifted. And you said, man, I feel so much better. That's the Lord. That's God's wisdom. That's his wisdom. I'm about to close, but I wanted to also share with you something that's very, very dangerous. There's a fourth reason why people don't turn to God's wisdom. And that's called rejecting his counsel. Rejecting it. I don't need it. Oh, you got God, that's fine for you. That's when people say, I don't want God running my life. Well, guess what? I want him running mine. He's a mighty good leader all the way, amen? How many of y'all tried him and you know, hey, yeah, he's good, he's good, he's good. You know, I watch, and right now they got the, I gotta say this, they got the NCAA basketball playoffs, all right? And I'm loving it. But what if those teams had no coach? What if the players just got out there, man, I'm just going to get out there and forgot all about everybody else. It's your coach that helps you. He's constantly giving them instruction because he sees what they don't see. Oh, can I just talk about the Holy Ghost? He knows what you don't know, and he knows the play that you need to shoot in order to score. He doesn't just want you out there running up and down the court. You're going to lose the game. And this one is not for the championship. This one is for your life. You got to listen to him. You got to let him talk you through it. And he'll be right there. And when he brings you over to the bench and he starts telling you, you didn't do what I told you, that's when you got to open up your heart. Don't get an attitude. I started to say God will slap the out of you. I ain't gonna say that though. We in church, y'all. All right now. But he will correct you. He will discipline you because he loves you. James warns us as I close, do not reject God's wisdom. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 28. It says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Man, that's a sermon right there. If you can't thank God for all he's done for you, if you can't lift your hands and say, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning, starting me on my way, you ought to be thankful that you're able to stand up on your own feet. You put the spoon to your own mouth and you fed yourself. You ought to tell him, thank you. He didn't have to do it. He owed you nothing, but he gave you everything. He gave you your life. He gave you your strength. Somebody ought to look up and tell him, yes, Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, things look rough, but it's going to be all right because of the one that's walking with you. Yeah, you had to go through something, but thank God you went through it and you're not still in it. Oh, y'all settle down. Settle down now. I got to tell you something. Y'all settle down. When they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain, empty. Oh, that's my rabbit's foot. That's what did it for me. Oh, yeah, I drank some potion, and that's what did it for me. You know what the Bible says? You fool. That was the Lord all the time. That was God directing your footsteps. They didn't glorify him. Neither were they thankful. All right, read on. Romans 1, 21. They became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. God brought down the drapes. He said, you don't want to know me? I'm going to turn the light off of understanding so you can't know me. And then he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Lord, have mercy. You think you got an enemy. Your worst one is in you. That's your real enemy. You will destroy yourself. And the only thing that keeps you from destroying yourself, God is walking with you, holding your hand. I wish I had time to preach this thing. So it says, look at verse 28. It says that they did not retain. They did not retain God in their knowledge. They erased every reference to God from their textbook. We don't need God. They took him out of school. So the devil says, you take God out, you must want me in. But how many of y'all know we still got some praying folk in the schools? And when the devil runs across them, he says, oh, I got to go to the other way. I got to do something else. I can't mess with them. Because they are under the blood. Those who do not retain God in their knowledge, God gives you over to a reprobate mind. Let me close with this. You're not going to understand everything about God. That's why you call it faith. God's doing this. You don't know what he's doing. I don't have a clue to some of the things that God is doing. But I can tell you one thing. He blessed me today. I can tell you another thing. He saved me. I can tell you one more thing. Ain't he good? Yes, he is. So I'm going to stick with what I know. I want to close with four wisdom warnings that will keep you from becoming reprobate in your mind. Warning number one, remind yourself that you don't know everything. Tap yourself on the shoulder, slap yourself if you have to, but whatever you do, remind yourself. Tie a ring or string around your face. Remind yourself that you don't know everything. Oh, I know what some of y'all say. I can Google it. And you just get another lie. But when you go to God, you get the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you, God. Amen? Remind yourself. Number two, wisdom warning number two tells us, get help. That's a hard one. And it just got silent in here. Because we need help, but we won't ask for it. And the person that God sends us to for help, oh, I don't like them. They ain't my style. Don't be a fool. If they're going to bless you, smile and keep on going. Amen? Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. Third wisdom warning, make the best of your time. Make the best of it. Young people say, I got plenty of time. You sure about that? You only got one day. Matter of fact, you only have 1 second. Make the best of your time. Fourth wisdom warning, never look down on anyone. Never look down on anyone. I'll never forget, I had a homeless person when I was at Lynn K. Homeless person, cussing me out, cussing me from one side to the other. Called me everything but a child of God. And I said, Lord, why I got to put up with this? Why I got to do this? And then I'm trying to help them. And before I could call them stupid idiot, the Holy Spirit whispered to me, that could be you. Then he said something else that would have been you had I not come in. Top God, top God. Ain't he good? And for those who have recovered over hard times, we got a whole lot to thank God for. Because when you look back where he brought you from, somebody can say, he brought me from a mighty long way. Then last close, I'm going to sit down. Going to my seat, getting ready, folding up my notes here. Get God's wisdom. Get God's, plain and simple, get God's wisdom. Don't get the Encyclopedia Britannica. Don't go to the online version. Get God's wisdom. Because if you get God's wisdom, you got God. And if you got God, he walks with you. He talks with you. And tell you that everything will be all right. How many of you are holding on to the hands of God? Look at somebody for the last time and tell them, it's good to know. It's good to know that he's going to lead me today. It's good to know that if I'm in the hospital, he's going to visit with me. It's good to know that he's going to be my good physician. When I need money, God says, know me. Our wisdom can show you what to do with what you already have. Can I get a witness here? When you know that God is with you, you know that everything will be all right. Give the Lord another hand clap. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Man, I can't wait till next Sunday. I'm telling you the truth because we're going to pull the veil off and show you who wisdom really is. I'll show that to you. Some of y'all already know. Savior, praise till next Sunday. Amen. I know there are many that we're talking to, even online, that you're saying to yourself, yeah, preacher, but you don't know my circumstance. And true, I don't know. But God does know. And I can tell you that he loves you more than anyone else can ever love you. Go to him today. Seek him today. Pour out your heart to him and let him be a way maker. If you're in here today, you don't even have to come up front. You don't have to do all those churchy things. But what you do need to do is say, God, I'm going to lay this at your feet. I'm going to lay my burden down. and I'm going to ask that you direct me. Give me your wisdom. I'm going through something right now, and I just need you to help me. And God will do just that. My prayer is that you would walk with him. That's my prayer. Father, thank you again for your mercy and grace. Bless us as only you can, that one that's nearest eternity without you. Pray that you'd open their heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone that needs to be saved, anyone want to join the church, or we're here to receive you, here to encourage you, here to be a blessing to you. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. And he will do the job of supplying your every need. Amen. I'm going to ask Reverend Anderson to come and dismiss us in prayer. Ain't he good?
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the message that was presented here today. Father, let it run deep within our soul and spirit. Lord, that we may seek your wisdom and walk according to your will. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Now, Lord, we ask that you keep us as we prepare to depart from this place. Lord, go before us and order our steps. Lead us throughout this week that we may follow thee and seek to do your will. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we praise your holy name. Now may the blood of Jesus, may the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest upon us both now and until we meet again. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all the blood-washed, born-again believers say, amen, amen.